Hello, everyone, and welcome to Linux for the Rest of Us, episode 212. This is a show about all things Linux, whether it's hardware or software, whatever tickles our Linux fancy. I am Cody Cooper, a.k.a. Supercoop, and I am once again joined by my good friend Stephen McLaughlin, a.k.a. the Door-to-Door Geek. How's it going, Door?
Hey, Cody. Going okay, I guess. Holiday, or one main holiday down, one main holiday fast, approaching, trying to stay sane.
Oh, yeah. Christmas is here, and I cannot wait. The Christmas music is always starting, but I'm going to start playing some very classic Christmas movies around the house, probably starting tomorrow on I might even loop one movie in particular, just playing on a display in my living room until Christmas Day.
Yeah, we sat my oldest down two nights ago, and we watched Die Hard, which we considered to be maybe the most Christmas movie ever.
That's the film I was talking about, yeah. In fact, I have a John McClane action figure on order from eBay, and instead of Elf on a Shelf, I'm going to do McClane on a Plane.
Good man.
This year.
Yeah, I want to get cardboard, fold it into a rectangle or a square, but a cylinder, line it in tin foil, and get a picture of him and put it inside there like he's in the air
yeah
vents.
I've seen that, and that's great. We
and like hang that on the tree.
We gotta get a picture of that in show notes, as well as on Amazon there is now an official A Die Hard Christmas book, the illustrated holiday classic.
Oh man,
which you can buy hardcover for $15.20. It's got Hans, it's got Al, everybody, they're all there. God, this is great.
Well, they should be. My wife said to my son, look, it isn't Christmas until Hans Gruber falls off the building.
That's great. That's so true. It's so true. Yeah. Man. So what have you, what have we been up to lately as far as Linux stuff goes? I know we've been talking the past couple weeks, but are you running any new OSs right now or anything?
No, I mean, I still have Solus on my Zotac Z box. I'm using it more as a traveling computer now, taking it back and forth to work, connecting it to my monitor there. Since I cannot get Synergy working correctly under any circumstances that I can work out, I still have Solus installed on my IBM, my Lenovo Flex 15 laptop. Still liking Solus for what it is. And that's not an insult. It's just, it's what it is. All my main studio rigs down here are still running Ubuntu 16.04 just because I need OBS. I need stability. And right now, the best of that world, I think, is in Ubuntu land.
Yeah. I still have Solus on my main rig almost 2 years now, I think. Been enjoying that experience. And I installed Ubuntu Budgie on a laptop about a month ago. And put that in the living room, and then have that piping out to two different HD displays. So that's our main computer in the living room now. And, out of the box, without any sort of modifications, my wife is able to navigate it pretty well, and the kids are kind of getting on it. And they're 3 and 6, so they're still kind of, you know, the 6-year-old is still kind of exploring what certain parts of the web is. Overall, I'm very, very happy with it. Very snappy. I think I have it on i3, i5, but not even on an SSD. It boots fast, super lightweight. So, yeah, the best of both worlds.
Yeah, it is definitely a solid OS, especially if you want to try out their Steam package. Yes. If you're finding inconsistencies or things you're not liking in other distros about Steam, I heavily encourage you to try it. Ikey is literally patching Steam itself to make things work a little bit better than just your average distro.
Yeah. When I first installed Solus, I remember seeing there was already, actually, check it. I believe there's, I mean, not only Steam available, but there was something to do with the Steam controller settings. I can't find, of course. Anyhow, that's all integrated into the client now itself. But yet to see that support for arguably the largest PC gaming platform right off the bat was great. And he, even though he's I would say, as far as I know of him, the last few years hasn't expressed that he's a gamer. Now that he's, I would say maybe the past couple years I've been seeing him post a lot more different footage of him in games, so some Let's Play stuff on YouTube, and then with his dedication to making sure that it runs right in Solus. I mean, that's just great to see.
Absolutely. It's a kind of thing, somebody has to do it. I trust him to do it right. Me, myself, I care about as much about Linux games, to be honest, as much as I care about the Mac operating system. They mean nothing to me. I still listen to Linux Gamecast, partially for the entertainment, partially for the education, but I'm not going to take, I don't have any time to sit down and play video games on any computers.
Well, some people do. And it definitely has come a long way as far as what's compatible, not just outside of Steam, but Steam itself. There's a huge, I would say, probably 60 to 70% of my personal library. More than that. I only have that much installed. But a handful of few games I bought years ago are all compatible on my Steam OS drive, which I used to play with the kids. But yeah, put plenty of good stuff on there. But we don't want to get too much into a wormhole on that. But yeah, it's an enjoyable experience thus far.
Yeah, I'm sure if I had a Steam-like machine connected to my main television, my oldest son would be much more into it.
Yeah.
Right now he's into the Nintendo Switch, partially for the convenience factor. Mm-hmm. It's right there on the big TV, partially because he can take it out of the dock, play it anywhere kind of thing. Whereas I know there's more than a couple computer-based games he would just go totally blitzkrieg for, like Rocket League on the Switch he's loving. Mm-hmm. But if he knew he could have played it before on a computer, he might have, you know.
And that is a Linux and SteamOS compatible title as well, Rocket League. And if you guys don't know what that game is, and if you love soccer and or cars or both, you gotta check it out. to kind of go along with the gaming element, but divert a little bit into a different direction. If you guys are looking to do that, maybe get something along the lines of your office or desktop experience into the living room, the Steam Link is a good option. I know we've talked about that. The reason I'm bringing it up is, over Black Friday, and I would bet that we'll see a similar deal for the holiday and Christmas sale on Steam as well. They were on sale for $5, so it was 90% off. A crazy, crazy deal. You have to have wireless AC to get any sort of decent reception, but if you can go hardwired either into the room, into the display, power over Ethernet, or excuse me, Ethernet over power adapters from different room to room. I have a buddy of mine who does that from his office into his living room and his garage for a projector. Works really well. So, and it's not just for a game. You can also, use it to do some screen mirroring, so you can, do a different video and things that way too. So, yeah, for $5, or even if you see it for maybe 5 or 10, I think it would be a worthwhile investment.
Oh yeah, I mean, I almost got one just to get one, just so I had one. And I'll say this: if it's the kind of thing where, more than likely there's going to be at least one person in your family or extended family that you could buy one of these and they would absolutely love, because they are functional in other ways than just gaming, for what I believe. And for $5, complete no-brainer.
Absolutely. We did have one of our topics this week was kind of a big thing that you stumbled onto, and that is osgameclones.com. So open source game clones. So anybody who's ever drank soda before knows, your Coke, your Pepsi, what are some other colas, like your RC Cola, if you guys know what that is. I grew up in that stuff. My uncle was a distributor, anyhow. But then you go to your grocery store and they have, Happy Cola or store brand X Cola. And it tastes a little off, but it's basically cola. You know what I'm talking about, right, Dor?
Oh, yeah, just generic cola. Right. Super cola.
Or the Mountain Dew,
like
they have,
Green Thunder.
Something mist, and then Dr. Pepper's some other, garbage. But basically, probably 80 to 90% of the way there, but not quite the original. Well, that's what this website reminded me of. If you're into games and you want to check these out, it's rapid. Like if you have ADD, like I did, I spent probably 2 or 3 minutes on it when I shouldn't have right before the show. But it's osgameclones.com. We'll have it in the show notes. But if you go here, open source clones of, I'm talking hundreds, if not thousands of games. And I mean, you're talking big budget titles, and the ones that are actually live, you can, for instance, I'm on the Binding of Isaac here, click the little arrow and it shows screenshots of the game. And it's legit just a clone of that game, which arguably itself was a clone of Legend of Zelda, but that's neither here nor there. And I believe, yeah, this is crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking about, you know, games compatible with Linux, I would definitely go check these out.
Yeah. I'll say this. I don't think I would call these clones. I would call these in like honor of kind of games. And I will say there, I think there's a direct correlation. The newer the game title you're looking at, the less it's going to possibly live up to your expectations. But then the inverse is true as well. If you pick an older game, for instance, if you just look for SimCity, which, you know, is pretty old, there is like five or six versions, 3D.city, LinCity, LinCity NG. And the first one I looked at, 3D City, in some ways is more advanced than the SimCity I remember, where you have a genuine three-quarter top-down look upon the world. You can make new maps, generate new maps, or you can pick that map to use. You can go all around the map. You can click residential-type buildings, build them, industrial city, just like, you know, the quote-unquote real game kind of thing. So if you set your expectations right, you could have a lot of fun on this page, from everything from Harvest Moon, Sonic the Hedgehog,
to Redneck Rampage, and
Redneck Rampage, and Descent. Yeah, and like if you want like something that's an actual clone, Descent, which was an old, I think, DOS 486 game. They have one here called D2X-XL, and when you go there and look at it, these screenshots are Descent.
Yeah,
they look exactly like it. So this is kind of like getting a Chromebook to me. If you set your expectations realistically, this site can be a heck of a lot of fun.
There you go. And remember, when it comes to games, it's not all about the graphics and the bling. It's all about the gameplay and the feels that you get.
Yeah, it isn't all about the FERPs.
It's all about them. No,
even
yeah.
If, you know,
not necessarily about the FERPs, but definitely about them feels.
Yeah, definitely. Two links I wanted to bring up. Make sure that I don't forget. Larry Bushy, a friend of yours and mine, he has now two books on Amazon available for purchase. We did mention Ubuntu Mate upgrading from Windows to OS X. That's a really good intro book describing the basics of the interface. What is Linux? Why is Linux? Some of the basic applications, how to use them, what you might see in Mac OS X, you know, coming from that. Well, in that OS, it would be called that. And in this new OS, it's called this kind of thing. It's very good for the brand new user. But his second book is called Using Ubuntu Mate and its Applications. I'll just say once again in paperback, $24. This is thicker. This is definitely a thicker book, and there's no way I can do this book credit. I highly encourage you. This would be a great book if someone you know is getting into Linux, wanting to learn it. This is a great intro. Very hyper detailed is what I'm going to say. Larry really takes this passionately, and in this book, he has full colored pictures. We're in the beginner's book. He didn't. Hence the lower price for that book. That book was only $9.99 for paperback.
Yeah, so the original, Ubuntu Mate's Guide for Computer Users Operating from Windows or OS X, that was 65 pages. The new book is 119, so nearly double. And the fact that he has the color pages can also set the expectations realistically for the increasing cost as well.
Absolutely. So if you know someone who needs a Christmas present revolving around Linux, I would highly encourage you check out our show notes and check out one or both of those books.
Good bring up.
Very cool. Next thing I wanted to bring up, Cody, I will say it comes with a caveat, and I'm actually going to use that word correctly for a change. There's an article over on opensource.com, which is completely monetized by Red Hat. They give all the money to it. So most of the time their articles will sometimes have a tendency to be very Red Hat focused. This was one that caught my eyes really quickly because a lot of people out there, especially who don't know computers, won't shut up about Slack, how it's revolutionary and stuff. It isn't. It's like IRC with bots is really all it is. We had a lot of the same basic functionality in like 94. It just looks prettier. Well, other people are taking the rise of those kinds of applications as a direct challenge, which I like. Competition makes everything better. We have Mattermost as well, which is the one that I currently right now use on Podnuts. But this one is called Riot. And if you go to about.riot.im, first off, you notice unbelievably colorful. Okay. The thing I like about it is right from their main page, you can download the GitHub code, and then there's five types of interfaces to the application is the way I'm going to put it. You have straight in the browser, you have Apple iStore, you have Google Play, you have F-Droid, and then you have desktop applications. The only thing I'm not positive about this app is if I download it, is there a connectivity going back to their website, or is it completely local on my rig, only connecting to the IRC servers I want? And that's what I'm not completely sure about, because if it does do the latter, then it's a more secure, a more private application that more respects your privacy. But I'm not positive. And I don't mind being the test dummy either.
Well, it is free. So
I know.
I don't want to say red flag, but you know what they say about,
I know,
if it doesn't cost you anything, you might be the product.
I know. And here's what I, not defense, because it's not a defense. There are no ads on the page. Okay. If all they do is host this website and dish and push the code out, sure, contributions could be nice. I'm sure if they're running a Patreon, that could be nice as well, but it's not a business plan. It's not something that a, you know, people would like to support in the business world if there's no monetization going on. Hopefully, well, since the code's on GitHub, if they fail, somebody else can pick it up. If it is a good idea, that makes me feel better about learning to use it, wanting to use it, and trusting to use it. I could basically download the code myself and run it. I just hope that there's nothing calling back to the home base. And to be honest, it just looks good enough to me that I want to investigate it more, because it's not that I don't like Mattermost. It's not that I don't like IRC. I just sometimes want something that looks better than something from a 1978 mainframe terminal connection. But I'm a command line guy, so I don't understand how that works.
Well, the thing is that I'm looking at this, and I'm intrigued by it, more so because when you see, like, if you were to just explain this to me in, like do a quick elevator pitch of this product, I would immediately think this has got to be some dumbed down, like, super, you know, plushy pillow push-button interface that's just, you know, basically making it more accessible while making it look too Fisher-pricey, I guess. But I'm looking at this, and it doesn't look bad. I would urge anybody to just at least take a look at it. But yeah, maybe we could dip our toe in, test it out for a little bit, and then do a follow-up.
Yeah, and I will say, we also have a Discord right now. If you go to patreon.com/podnuts, you get immediate access to the Discord. If you cannot afford supporting the network, just shoot me an email, and I can give you an invite right to the Discord if that is your preferred interface. This is almost like messaging apps on phones, Cody. It's really difficult to convince people to go away from something they're already using.
Absolutely.
So if you're already a heavy Discord user, the likelihood of you using this, there's two choices or two chances for you to use it. And that's slim and none.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're already an IRC person, I think it might be worth checking out.
Well, and to kind of take a step back and really kind of, expound upon what you just said there. Familiarity is, you know, nice and warm and comfortable, but every once in a while, no matter what it is, you really should take a step back and ask yourself, why am I using X? Whether it's, you know, a specific piece of software, you know, an operating system, the coffee that you buy, or the route that you take to work, whatever it is, because it might just be the fact that it might be one of a few things, one of which being I explored the options a while ago and I tried this thing a few years ago and it really works for me and I like it, and that's what I chose out of several options to go with. Or it could just be that's what I've always used, that's what my dad always used, and to hell with everything else. And that can, you know, either give you a good experience or it can really limit your options. Because really, the one thing that I, when I speak to people, or the one question I get from people that know that I run Linux, that they say, well, why? And I speak about the options and the choice that I made to do it versus just going with the OS that was on my machine at the time. And I had a similar experience recently. Now, I know, in fact, it may have been the last episode, the one before that, which has been a while ago. We were talking about Podcast Addict. And I just shooed you away. I was like, no, dog catcher for life, till the wheels fall off. Well, now, I got a woman. I'm a Podcast Addict user. I do like it, Dora. Did you hear that?
So you're a Podcast Addict?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know where the support group meets, but maybe I'll check it through. I'll see if there's an IRC channel for Podcast Addicts when I try out Riot.
Well, the good news is he is on Patreon as well. So if you go to patreon.com/podcastaddict, you can support him too.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say the one thing about this application, riot.im, which is literally making me want to try it, is it has built in, to at least some degree, built in voice and video conferencing. Ooh. We've used tools like Jitsi Meet. There's a couple other WebRTC based solutions out there, but I kept wondering why didn't Matter Most have a voice room in it or a video room in it? And Discord has a voice room in it, and they're working on a video room in it as well. Discord does have stuff like keyboard controls, so you can have your mic completely disabled till you hit a hotkey, which I do like. But if this is GitHubable, aka I can load it on my own server, run it there, and have voice and video conferencing on it as well. This also might be the perfect kind of thing for an inter-agency voice video system as well. So I am going to take a little bit of a closer look at this when I get a chance. Of course, they tout, you know, security and open source, but I don't believe anybody ever anymore touting any level of security until I hear an independent third-party auditor say it's good, or someone well known in the security research field go out and do their own investigation of the connections it's making, the, you know, types of tunneling it's using, what kind of data is being stored in it, and what's the method of storing the data. Until that, I don't care how many times a website says it uses, or a service says it uses, end-to-end crypto. For all I know, that means they just Xorg.
Right.
Data, which, you know, but, I mean,
why would they put it's it on easy the, to why would they put it on the website if it wasn't awesome? I mean, it says right there end-to-end crypto.
I know, but
it also says integrations.
Yeah.
So there's that
almost sounded racist.
There is also an app available for both iOS and Android, which you can get on the App Store, obviously Google Play, or get it on F-Droid. You can launch it through the browser, or there's a downloadable app to the desktop. It is, cross-platform, OS 10, Windows 7 or later, 32/64-bit, and Debian Ubuntu repo. That's it.
Yeah, now here's the kicker. Here's the thing. Here's the hook. Here's the thing that got my eye. I completely forgot. We were at FalseCon last year, because I couldn't go this year because, you know, stuff that I'm still trying to forget. Here's the gimmick, and this is the real kicker. Riot is free open source multi-platform client based on the Matrix protocol. To understand it better, think Matrix as a protocol and Riot as a client. When we were at FalseCon, me and I think it was Russ sat there and talked to this Matrix developer for a good 20 minutes. And all me and Russ were sure at the end of talking to him was this guy is a hell of a lot smarter than me and Russ put together. Matrix is a very efficient way, and I don't want to say secure because anything can be secure, but it had security designed from the ground floor kind of thing when they were making this. There was a lot about Matrix. I really liked what he was saying. And then when me and Russ both tried to load a Matrix type client on our computers, we were both like, this is far, far too painful to use every day. But now it looks like there's four solutions at least that are supporting Matrix. It's WeChat, which I'm sure everyone's heard of, NaChat, NaChat, Quarter9, and Riot. So there are four of them at least that support it. So this is actually the reason why I initially bookmarked it, and I completely forgot until I actually took the time to read the damn article again.
I'd never heard of Matrix before. That's interesting. I have to check that out.
Right, and we haven't either. And then talking to the guy, this thing's been around for years and years. We actually went to the guy's talk to, I believe. These guys really know what they're talking about, and I'll just put it like this. The real goal of the when they designed this thing was to literally have millions and millions of people connecting to one decentralized point, if you will, and having the closest thing to real-time everything via that decentralized cluster, if you will. And they really honed it really hard for that. They did not want things to be centralized. So if Riot is based off of a decentralized thing, I feel better about it.
Definitely.
No, I feel better about it already. Thank you for letting me talk about it.
It's a load off. Yeah, no problem. I'll allow you one link to be passionate about per show. Speaking of that, Dor, you know I love value.
Of course, we all do.
We all do. But then again, you know, and we love value. We like to see things on sale. This holiday season coming up, and several in the past, but it seems to get more and more of a focus every year. We see, you know, the crazy deals on TVs, the crazy deals on tablets. But there is that age-old saying, you know, you get what you pay for. Now, for those of you who have ears, you should be able to hear this. You heard that, Dor?
Probably they'll hear it, yeah.
Okay. It's, well, here, let me do this. Okay. You guys definitely heard that. That was my clickety-clackety DOS keyboard, my mechanical keyboard, my baby. I've had her for 4 or 5 years now. Wonderful. Anyway, lots of people throwing out questions to me saying, hey, where can I get my, even Dor, you know, several other regions, and hey, where can I get a good mechanical keyboard? And I always say, just get one of these. If you can't afford one, then save up for a year or two. Just get one of these. Get something worth getting, because if you get a cheap model, you never know what you're going to get. When you're talking about, and I don't even use this keyboard for gaming that much, to be honest. So it's not like I bought some high-end LED enabled with, you know, all the media controls, you know, keyboard. This is just, it's just a basic-ish keyboard, a little higher end, but the clickety clackety, and it's wonderful. Okay, I'm not trying to boast, and I did save up for a while to get this when I bought it because it was a little expensive. But think of your keyboard and your mouse as tires on a car. Okay, you've invested money, or you happen to get a smoking deal on this machine of yours, and it is your vehicle. Now, the last thing you want to do is to put it in terms easier to understand with the car analogy, and I'm not a car guy, so I'm just using this because everybody should be able to understand this. But if you take the time and the effort to save up and buy your dream car, let's just say it's a Ferrari, okay, for whatever reason, Ferrari, and then you go down to the tire center and you spend the least amount of money on garbage tires because you didn't have enough to maybe take into consideration, I need some good tires, but whatever, just putting your tires on it, it's going to drive like crap because the tires are what are interfacing with the road, and they are in fact dictating your experience inside the car. The same goes,
and
what
the most trust you're putting in the vehicle is where that connection is made.
Exactly.
That's where, if you're going to have an accident, it's very easy for the tires to be the culprit of it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying you gotta spend hundreds of dollars or bust, but what I'm recommending you do is do your research. Don't settle for that flash sale, that refurbished unit from some company you've never heard of, because you might get something poor quality. Or in the case of our next link, you might get something poor quality that also has a little something extra. Or you might get something of decent quality, but has a little something extra installed in it.
Bonus features.
That you didn't know about. So, this next link, the Manus Tech GK2 keyboard, which if you go to... if you just search Google for it, you find it online just about anywhere for, let's see here, 104 key NKRO, which is, N key rollover. It basically allows you to input several keys at the same time. That's more of a gaming thing. So not necessarily for everyone, but blue, red, black, brown, switch, mechanical, gaming keyboard. Ooh. Okay. At this particular website, which I'm not going to say because it could be misconstrued as filthy, the name of the website, $66.20 normally, however, on sale for $54.99. Now, you might look at that and go, oh, that's a pretty expensive keyboard. But in the realm of the mechanical keyboards, that's actually quite cheap. Well, a lot of people bought this, but then several sites... Tom's Hardware. I mean, geez, if you just do a search for this thing, you'll see all of this. But there was, in fact, a keylogger installed on this machine, a hardware keylogger in this machine, in this keyboard. Now, Dor, what if you bought this keyboard and then found out there was a keylogger in it? What would you do with it?
I would smash it on a curb like I was Ed Norton in American History X.
Oh, man, that's the stomp. So you'd fix the, let's see... Not the, well, yeah, in between the ASDF and the QWERTY row, probably on the corner of the curve, and then just smash it down.
I would permanently fix its capability of communicating back to wherever it's communicating to, yes. Yes. And I understand, Cody is the man who is undoubtedly quality over quantity. I understand sales. I understand impulse buying. It's just like there was just a keyboard called AI Type on Android. Same kind of thing. The keyboard is where you type your passwords. Mm-hmm. They're where you type your usernames. It's where you type everything. So it is the easiest place for someone to do a mass compromise, is the only way to put it. Now, unfortunately, this is a kind of thing that somebody literally had to have a suspicion in the first place, or just be running Wireshark insanely on their network to even discover this. Just the fact that it was discovered is kind of shocking. But for it to exist now should tell everyone it's possible, it's easy for this company to do. And mechanical keyboards, like you said, even if you go for a affordable one, in air quotes, because that's one of the problems, first I'll say, with the English language. Freedom, we need more than one word for the word freedom. Cheap, we need more than one word for the word cheap, because there's affordable cheap and then there's quality cheap. You can get a affordable cheap mechanical-ish keyboard for 40-50 bucks. Do your research and you'll find there's a one or two out there. They're fair as far as mechanical keyboards. They easily get a 3 out of 10 kind of thing. But if you want a mechanical keyboard because you want a mechanical keyboard, you're not going to save money on them. You're not. If you want a sports car, a Yugo ain't going to cut it. You need to buy a sports car. So save up and buy a real one. Look what other people say. Look what, especially if you're a gamer, see what other gamers say. And if the gamer tells you to get the Manus Tech GK2 mechanical keyboard, they're trolling you. Don't buy it. Because, bad stuff happens. And I hate to say it, this is almost like the Minix being baked into the Intel chips. Once we see something being real, then we know to expect it for now on. There's now always going to be a possibility anybody can take any keyboard, open it up, and put a keylogger in it.
Right.
You know?
Or like what happened with Lenovo a few years ago, or 2 or 3 years ago? Yeah. Yeah, with the phishing malware pre-installed on purpose, supposedly. Hashtag allegedly.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. So, yeah, the fact that this was discovered on this one now makes pretty much all of them suspect. And I don't know about you, but, like, I've had some wire. I don't want to say paranoid, but I'm cautious enough to where I don't even use wireless keyboards anymore, like Bluetooth keyboards. I just won't do it, personally. Too much stuff. going on that I don't want broadcast anywhere else. I mean, I'm a big Doogie Howser fan. I have a text file that I do a diary in every night. I really don't, but wouldn't that be cute? Wouldn't that be adorable? I really don't. But
or creepy.
Yeah, or creepy. Yeah, okay. But I literally just want my keyboard to be a keyboard. I don't need any flashy media buttons. I don't need a volume rocker. This one happens to have a couple USB ports on the side of it. Now I'm even questioning that. You see what I'm doing?
Yeah, I know. I hate having media keys on my keyboard.
It's like, hey, I can just do that in software. I don't need to. I love the people that get those keyboards and leave the sticker on it so that they can show. Well, it says right here I can control whatever. But so be suspect. I'll do a couple of quick things real quick. When it comes to keyboards, if you are going to go mechanical, don't just rely on kind of what I said there. Let me go back to it. So on this website, the description for the keyboard is Mantis Tech GK2 104 keys NKRO, which is N key rollover, RGB, blue, red, black, brown switch mechanical gaming keyboard. And you think, oh, colored switches. Okay. Google Cherry MX switches. Yeah. It's basically like the higher end mechanical switch. Now you will see Cherry MX red, blue, green, or brown, but then you'll see these cheaper keyboards saying, oh yes, it's a red, blue, it's a, excuse me, a blue, red, black, or brown switch, but it's not a Cherry brand. So once again, I don't want to say knockoff, but it's not the actual brand of switch. There are some mechanical switches made by certain manufacturers which have a good feel and are either harder or go down farther, are silent, are not so loud, or are just friggin' loud, like I want to annoy everybody in the office type loud. So don't just assume that all mechanical keyboards, as far as mechanical switches, are the same. Okay. And then what I just spoke of, DOS keyboard. Okay. I have, I have an older version, which is basically, it's the S Professional, and you can get them on there right now for, like, starting at like $129, which is, I mean, that's a lot to spend on the keyboard. Okay. They have the DOS Keyboard Prime 13, which is $129. That's basically the one I have, except this is newer. But then they have their new, okay, the new version you can pre-order. Okay, the DOS Keyboard 5Q, starting at $249.99. This is not a sales pitch. I'm just going to read the explanation of this keyboard really quick and then tell you what I immediately thought when I read this, okay? So the DOS Keyboard 5Q is a cloud-connected, OpenAPI RGB mechanical keyboard that allows each key to be color-controlled over the internet.
Nope.
One four-letter word. Yeah, nope. Once I saw cloud-connected, it was like, I don't want my keyboard to be cloud-connected. I don't need that. Sorry, DOS Keyboard. I'm not going to buy that particular model. However, I can't speak to the quality of several other products. I do like it. We don't have an affiliate link. I'm not trying to, I don't get a kickback of anything, but if you're in the realm for that, for mechanical keyboard, check them out. But also those older IBM keyboards, you can get, I think, did they have a PS2 interface on those?
Yeah.
The older clickety clackies. Yeah. You can find those. I mean, those sell for actually quite a bit. So if you can find those somewhere and then either.
Well,
go ahead. Sorry.
I'll give what I'll say is the best possible suggestion, but it comes with work. Episode, I believe, 9 of the makers, Jonas, long, long time friend. He was even back in the days of Linux Basics. He brought to the show custom designing and building mechanical keyboards. You can 3D print or fabricate the case for it. The board you can buy online for a very affordable price, like $10 for the board. The Arduino is the interface between the board and the USB, like another $7. And then you can buy the keys themselves from eBay. For the low price, I want to say the low end ones are like $2 a pop. The higher end ones, I think, were like $8 a pop. And then if you have a 3D printer, technically you can 3D print the keycaps as well. And then you can have your own custom 3D printer. And if you want LEDs in it, you can put LEDs in it. If you want it to be a split keyboard, it can be a split keyboard. If you want a curved keyboard for your hands, you can do that. And you are much more trusting of the software is what I'm going to say, because you can go to the place, you can download the code for the software, you can examine it yourself, you can see what it's doing, you can GitHub clone it, you can compile it, and you can put it on the board yourself. But the biggest advantage to me of that is you literally get a keyboard the shape you want, the size you want, the height you want, the keys you want, and the noise level you want. Because if you want a quieter mechanical keyboard, it's doable. I want to say they're white keys, possibly. And you can buy little tiny O-rings or rubber bands, essentially, and you put them up underneath the key. It helps quiet that last split second of the click. So even if you want a quiet mechanical keyboard, you can get quieter. It is possible. But if you want the clickety clank, you can literally design your own enclosure for the keys to be as acoustically optimized as possible to make as much noise as you can possibly desire.
If you really want to go all out, you can get some of those drum kit microphones and place them on little tripods above your keyboard and hook it up to like an amp.
And every time you hit a key,
everyone will know you're typing.
Cologne.
That's right. Everyone.
Yeah.
Great. For miles.
Yeah.
Great way to annoy the
neighbors. I had,
forget about bumping them off their Wi-Fi network. Listen.
Yeah, on I got a cheap, affordable mechanical keyboard 3 or 4 months ago. Patrick Norton just tweeted about it maybe a week ago. I want to say it's called the Velasa Fire keyboard, maybe, possibly. It's not a full keyboard. It's not a 104 keyboard. It was definitely less keys than that. And it's literally 50-ish bucks. It isn't great, but it's good. And now all the cubes right next to me have been vacated. Yeah. Nobody sits there anymore.
You have the black and white one with no number pad?
No number pad. It isn't black and white, but it does have no number pad.
Well, I'm sorry. It's all black, but the text on the keys is white.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, the Blade Mini TKL01. And, you know, the bad thing is that it's only one color.
Yeah. Oh, who cares?
I know.
Whatever.
But you can have it go slow pulse, quick pulse, up, down, up. Well, you know, whatever you want kind of thing.
Yeah, great.
So it's really annoying to anybody that also comes up to my desk and starts talking. I then hit the function key and the up arrow a couple of times, then turn around and talk to them the whole time. The keyboard's
pulsating.
Yeah. And it just drives people crazy.
Yeah, you can get them on Newegg right now for $35.
Yeah.
Which I got to say, it's suspect.
And it should be. I'll say right now.
It has 12 multimedia control keys, though.
I know, which I wanted to scratch them off.
Okay.
And of course, it comes with the keyboard puller. But see, I do miss the days of being able to stick my keyboard inside of a dishwasher.
You know, just had to
and
say
not
that.
Worry about it.
Oh my God. Okay, hold on. Okay.
I guess you have one in mind.
I have another. There we go. So I have a keyboard I purchased for the family computer. Not that I don't trust my wife, but the kids, you know, with their juice and their milk and so forth. Logitech makes a washable keyboard, the K310, which actually has decent keys. It's like a mechanical membrane hybrid. The keys are raised all the way off of the actual board. It's a very interesting design, but the nice thing about it is that you can literally just pour liquid all the way in it. There are vents on the, vent. It has a vented bottom where the liquid will just pour out. And you can actually take it into the sink and just rinse it out and like brush the keys. And the water will just flow all the way through it, through all of these holes in the bottom and these vents to completely get all the liquid out of it. So yeah, you can flush hot water through this to clean out anything. It's crazy. And I haven't spilled anything on it yet. Damn it, I might just go do it. I mean, it's a little expensive, though. It's not mechanical keyboard expensive, but on Amazon right now, it's like $67. But yeah, if you're accident prone yourself, or if you are thinking about maybe getting something for family use where you do have kids or even pets around, that might be worthwhile. I think it's really difficult to take those keys off, but I've had that for 3 or 4 years now, no issues, very comfortable.
Very cool. Yeah, I'll say right now on Newegg Business, it's only $27. On regular Newegg, $38. I like Newegg. And of course, it's USB, not no wireless junk.
Right. Yeah, I also like the fact that they're based in California, so it's just right. It's super fast shipping if I ever been there.
Very cool.
All right, great. Yeah, so hopefully all those keyboard emails we got are now answered.
They should be.
Yes. Then don't even get me started on mice. Holy cow.
Oh yeah, I like my Red Dragon mouse.
See, I've ordered a bunch of just probably 3 or 4, you know, like the under $10 mice on Amazon or wherever, and they just, you know, it's the same plastic mold that you get from all the, you know, big companies. They're just comfortable. They work, whatever. If you're gaming and you need something with a higher DPI, they have those too. You know, 12, 16,000, whatever. Just I don't think you need to spend $200 on a mouse. If you need to spend $200 on a mouse, you're probably on a pro gaming team, in which case you're getting it for free anyway because they need the ad revenue by having you play on it. So whatever.
Yeah, it looks like the one I got is the Red Dragon M650, possibly.
I have an older Razer Death Adder, and it's
starting Death Adder.
Yeah, because they have to be like, you know, scary snake names. Although this, I'm not gonna get into it. I've had overall good experiences with it. Look it up. Check it out.
Yeah, this is the one I got. It's the gaming mouse for PC gamers M901 with the number pad on the side in Linux. The number pad literally comes off like a number pad, which enables you, if you want to, macro right from it, just like a normal numpad.
Oh, okay.
Key. So in tools like Automate It, you can just say on this key, do that, on this key, do that. Also has right on the mouse, two buttons to instantaneously change DPI settings, which I like a lot.
Okay.
And then there is a dedicated triple click button. Basically, you click it, it automatically acts like three clicks. Right now, $34 on Amazon.
Yeah, Buddy of mine had a similar setup. Now, you're talking about like the separate number pad, like it's the number pad on the keyboard, but it's a separate unit.
No, it's built into the side of the...
side of the mouse?
Side of the mouse, yeah.
God, okay. See, that's just overkill.
I didn't say it was an overkill. And it does come with, of course, a little canister of weights in it, so you can customize the weight of it, because, you know, you got to have the right weight, or else, you know, who are you kidding?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. This reminds me of... with the Razer Naga World of Warcraft mouse.
Well, and I'll wholeheartedly admit, for me, complete overkill. I mean, like, obsessively complete overkill. And it's USB. Ain't no Wi-Fi junk going on here. You know, just so far has worked really, really well. And it's one of the few mice that works perfect on my plywood desk. I've had mice for some reason. I literally had to pull out, like, a piece of paper put down to use my mouse. And for some reason, on the wood, it just didn't
work. I've had the same issue on some different surfaces with some of the older, like, the garbage Dell mice at my previous employer. But yeah, it just wouldn't read on certain colored surfaces, which I thought, whatever. It's probably reflecting too much light back or whatever. I don't have to worry about that anymore. But yeah. Like I said, I'm done talking about mice. It's gonna be another rabbit hole. We can't afford it. We just can't afford it.
Okay. You want to talk about kangaroos?
Talk about kangaroos. Never had any personal experience with it, with kangaroos myself. Although I gotta say, I'm very jealous of the, what do you call a kangaroo offspring? It's not a cub.
Kangaroo-ette? A kanga kitten? I don't know. A roo, I'm gonna guess. Why not?
Yeah, that's actually kangaroo, The roo is just a nickname for, colloquially referred to as roo. Male kangaroos are called bucks, boomers, jacks, or old men. Females are does, flyers, or jills, and young ones are joeys. Oh, I knew that.
Joey. Yeah, Peter 64 is virtually smacking us right now.
Yes, but hey, we're anything we can do to reinforce the dumb American stereotype. But hey, I knew how to use Google and answer my own question. You're welcome. I didn't post it on Yahoo Answers, did I? No.
Yet.
I'm still, answers are pending. We'll follow it up on episode 213.
Well, we could talk about penguins.
Well, no, but I'm not done talking about joeys. I envy the joey when it's in the sack, because you gotta think, man, it's gotta be warm in there.
I would think.
My little bastard of a chihuahua today, I couldn't find him. I thought he was stuck outside all day. No, he's just curled up. He drug a comforter off my kid's bed onto his bed and wrapped himself up like a croissant in this thing. And I saw some shuffling, and I lifted up, and he gave me the evilest look and growled at me like, you SOB, you're letting out all the heat, put that blanket back down. And I thought...
So what you're saying is you're just...
That's right! Yeah, I can't lay down in the middle of the afternoon and just get warm and take a nap, but I want to.
I don't know what to tell you.
I need a new comforter.
Okay.
So yeah, penguins?
Yeah, penguins. If you value your privacy and you value companies that value your privacy, and then take a very proactive stance on it, then I heavily encourage you to go to thinkpenguin.com, support them. And if you see something you like there, and you want to save a couple shekels, just shoot me a email at podcast@lunchfortherestofus.com and I can shoot you a coupon code.
Fantastic. And please check out the website. Not necessarily if you're just in the market for a new machine, whether it's a desktop or laptop, but they have several other items on there as well. And we've met the owner and the
Hacker Bob.
Technician extraordinaire, Hacker Bob, yes, several times. So we can speak to the guys running the operation are very cool and have their heart in the right place, especially when it comes to personal protection and privacy. So definitely give them a look. Several different devices for all sorts of use cases. And yeah, if you want to save that money, send us that email and we'll see if we can get you. We'll see if we can get you a discount. We will get you a discount on it. Just tell them that we sent you.
Indeed.
Fantastic. Well, I think that was the majority of the links that we had highlighted for this week. Or anything else you wanted to mention before we wrap up?
No, I just want to say it's really good to chat with you. I want to thank everybody for the support.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for sticking with us. And we're heading into the holiday season now. It's only early December, so we should get a couple more, at least one more showing before the end of the year, if not a couple more. And then 2018 is just around the corner, and really looking forward to it. Looking forward to sharing some information about my new situation that I have going on, and looking forward to what kind of time that's going to bring me to creating some new content, whether it's Linux or otherwise. So, I will say this: we passed most of November, if not all of November. We passed Thanksgiving, and I want to say I am thankful for the community that I've been exposed to after not just being a listener to Podnuts, but a podcaster on the network as well. Several of you, several, quite a few. I'm in contact with you several different times of the year, and I've got a lot of good friends from a lot of these interactions, and I'm especially thankful for Dor. He is one of my best friends in the world. And giving me a lot of support, personal, professional, and otherwise. So, Dor, I'm thankful for you. You're welcome.
I love you, brother.
Ditto.
It wasn't that I was diverted, but I got to mention this, Cody.
Oh, here we go. What? Huh?
On Think Penguin, if you click on shop and then you go to USB flash and storage devices and then click on the 120 gig, 250 gig, 500 gig USB 3.0 super speed SSD drives, this is awesome. They stuck an M.2 SSD, basically a micro M2 SSD, inside of a slightly oversized thumb drive with USB 3, where you're getting 540 megabytes write read and 500 megabytes write speed, with no dependencies, no wrappers, no binary blobs, no proprietary. No special drivers are needed, for only $99 for 500 gig. This thing is pocketable speed. This thing is awesome. Hacker Bob did it again.
Yeah, I would say what? Let me see. If I'm looking at it's probably like a little bit bigger than a cigarette lighter. It looks a lot like some of the old Linksys USB Wi-Fi mm-hmm. adapters. If that gives you guys an indication, right. It's quite a bit bigger than just a traditional. Well, I mean, you can't even really say traditional USB drive to people and get a clear understanding of what that means, because there are some that are so small now. I mean, insane small, like fingernail small. Or I have these. Let me grab one here. Hold on. There's a. Well, I don't care. Whatever. I have these Samsung ones that are all metal. These USB 3 ones, and they're super tiny. But they've worked the plug into the housing. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. Anyway, very, very cool USB devices. But yeah, I didn't know that they had this. But yeah, 500 gigs for $100. That's crazy.
I mean, you can get hard drives for much cheaper, but you got to understand this is not a portable hard drive. This is a high speed thumb drive.
Mm-hmm. This would work. I'm going to call out Nightwise here. Nightwise, I'm calling you out. Nightwise, if you're not familiar with Nightwise.com, please check him out. But he did an episode of his show, gosh, it's probably 4 years ago now. It's called Life on a Stick. But in that episode, he detailed... Oh. What's that? Sorry?
I read it wrong. It was 99 extra dollars.
How much?
Which brings up the 250.
That's $250?
I was wondering how it could be so cheap.
Wait, so how much
so is now the, it makes perfect sense.
Oh, the 100... Well,
the 120 is 150.
Oh, okay. Bucks. So $260 for 500. Okay.
Yes.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Well, at least you corrected that now, so they're not getting a bunch of orders for this $99 price point. We'll just edit that out. Don't worry about it. I'll talk to our post-production team. We'll get that taken care of right away. So, yeah, the 120 gigabyte version is $159, and then the 250 gig version is... So what, 180 and then 260 for the 500 gigs. Okay. But still, to justify the cost, you're going to have a use case for it, which I'm about to say. Nightwise did an episode of his podcast years ago called Life on a Stick, where he detailed several really cool uses, not just necessarily portable apps on a USB stick, but also having portable operating systems on there and using multiple sticks, one to hold, you know, like your home folder, one to boot the OS and run the OS off of. And it was definitely in the top 10 tech podcasts that I've listened to the most times over the years. And I'm going to challenge him, and I'm going to send him a Voxer now. I'll even send him an email after I get off the show. I'm going to challenge him because I haven't gotten a lot of content out of him lately. He might have posted some episodes recently. I'm just not really up to his feed anyway. I'm going to challenge him to do an episode of that during the first half, because I was going to say first quarter. I know he's very busy. I'll say first half of 2018. I want a 2018 version of Life on a Stick. And if you're running an OS off of a stick, I'm looking at this thing. And as far as speed goes, I can't see anything better on the market.
I agree.
There you go. Use case. You're welcome. Perfect. All right. Great. Well, Dor, it's been a pleasure. We're going to go ahead and wrap this up. You guys know all the ways to get hold of us. If you have a question, please podcast@linuxthereftofus.com. I don't have our normal notes document up, and I am so jazzed on Coke Zero. I don't remember the 800 number for the door. Can you look it up real quick? Do you remember what it is? I doubt you know what it is offhand, yeah. Do you?
Of course I do. It's 7076-PODNUT or
7076.
368.
Oh, I want to say 3588 every time. I have it in my head. So yeah, 7076 PodNut. Please dial that. Give us a voicemail. Let's say under 2 minutes. If you get a little over, that's fine. But if it's like 5 to 10 minutes, that's not really a voicemail, is it? It's more of a dictation. We don't need that. Keep it short and sweet. But let us know in relation to what we talked about in this episode, maybe what kind of keyboard or physical interface that you really like on your machine. That's what I really like to hear from you guys based on the episode that we are releasing now, based on this conversation. I would say I would really be interested to see what you guys are using. So let's go ahead and have that be the email topic of the week. I think that would be great. Well, also, so we'll be back soon. We'll definitely be back for the end of the year. I will definitely get a hold of Nightwise, as I promised. Thank you so much for listening, and please do not forget that Linux is not just for the rest of us. It is for all of us. Good night.